Hello, and welcome to their Career Management Education Series, which includes podcasts, webinars, white papers, and whiteboard videos. Please check back for future releases on a variety of topics within our competency development program. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Weaver with Advancia Technologies, and I'm joined by Ms. Ann Lair, Senior Vice President with the Center for Human Capital Innovation, and we will be your host. Today's podcast topic is Nature and Causes of Conflict. Hi, Ann. Welcome back to the studio. It's great to be working with you again.
Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks for inviting me back.
And as you know, this series will allow us to share best practices, information, outline some skills, and also describe ways for employees and managers to gain better working relationships, as well as grow in proficiencies within their competency development. The purpose of this podcast series is to provide insights to help employees become more engaged, as well as helping managers, supervisors, and leaders at all levels create an optimum environment for effective employee engagement and improved retention. These podcasts will provide tips, techniques, and solid understanding of materials and topics for a self-paced employee development approach. Just so that we are clear, I wanted to take a moment and share the objectives of this podcast topic, and they are: identify best practices for elimination of conflict in the workplace, understand and identify causes of conflict, and develop best practices to eliminate conflict in the workplace. So let's get started. And if you had the opportunity to put it in your own words, how would you, as a subject matter expert, define conflict?
Conflict is just when you and I want something different, Jeffrey. Maybe we want different type of food, different type of book, different type of movie. That's all it is when you and I want something different.
That's very interesting, because when most people hear the word conflict, it automatically creates a negative understanding. I think that is one of the things that you said in one of our previous podcasts about bias. Would you say that conflict is good or bad if you had to classify it?
It's neither. Conflict just is. Just like this table in front of me is a table, this computer in front of me is a computer, it just is. What happens, though, exactly as you said, is that people tend to wrap a lot of emotions around it because they don't know how to manage it, because conflict can be emotional. And then that disagreement, which is a simple disagreement of, do you want Italian food tonight or Chinese food tonight, starts to feel negative. And then that is why we start to classify it as bad. And that's, we don't want conflict because it's bad.
Would you say that all conflict is disruptive?
I would say that it can be disruptive in the sense that it makes us think. If you want Japanese and I want Chinese food, we have the opportunity to stop and to think and ask ourselves, I wonder what's going on. Is this something that I want to share with Jeffrey? Is this something that I really want to explain about why I feel so strongly about this? So it can be disruptive in the sense of it gives us an opportunity to think about what's really going on here rather than that knee-jerk reaction. The question is, do we take that opportunity to think, or do we just go right into that knee-jerk reaction? Well, I want Chinese, and that's the way it is.
I totally agree. And we can also say that based on your idea of being able to think or requiring you to think, it gives us an opportunity to have a dialogue as well. So we might say that it's disruptive to have quote-unquote conflict, but as you said, it's just a disagreement. So it gives us the opportunity to also provide that dialogue back and forth and asking clarification to make sure that we're getting what we need out of the conversation. So with that understanding, is there a particular tool or a guideline that somebody should follow if they get to this point?
One of my favorite tools is called the Thomas Kilman Instrument. That's Thomas as in the gentleman's name, Kilman, and then instrument. And it's a tool and it's a model that can help you understand how to manage conflicts. We call it TKI. And according to TKI, there are 5 ways to manage conflict. And if you think of an axis, one axis is assertiveness, high or low, and one axis is cooperation, high or low. And if you think about it that way, all disagreements, all of things where you want something different than I do, are going to fall on one of those axes. Am I going to be assertive, high or low, and am I going to cooperate, high or low? And then within that, there are 5 different ways that you can manage conflict, depending where you are on the axes.
Okay. So if I had to choose a starting point, because I want to better manage the quote-unquote conflict in the workplace, where should I start?
So let's first understand what the five different ways are, and then we can figure out what do I do as an individual when I'm in conflict with you. Okay. So let's start at the top left. So the top left, if you look at the model, says that high assertiveness, low cooperation. So I am going to compete with you no matter what. I'm going to assert. We call that competition. I'm going to assert myself. I am not going to cooperate with you at all. And that is the way it's going to be. And the great thing about this model says that all five ways, which we're going to get into in a little bit, are important, are relative. It's just we have to know when to use which of the five different ways. So competing, again, high assertiveness, low cooperation. Mm-hmm. Some people would say to me, oh, I never compete. Competing's really scary. And I always say, I disagree, because we all compete all the time, even with colleagues. Mm-hmm. So one way we compete might be we want a pay raise, or we want more resources, or we want more people on our team. We are therefore competing with somebody else. So that's a way that we naturally compete, getting a job, getting into a school without even necessarily realizing it.
Okay, I understand that part.
So now let's go down to the opposite of that. So the opposite corner, if we think of the top left, and that is high assertiveness, low cooperation, mm-hmm. let's go to the bottom right. The bottom right is high cooperation, low assertiveness.
Okay.
This is what we call accommodate. Now, some people are like, accommodate? What am I, a doormat? I'm not going to accommodate. I'm the leader. I'm the supervisor. I'm supposed to make sure that I am decisive and I know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And again, the model says all of these are important. We have to know when is it the right time to accommodate. And there are certain times where it's totally appropriate to accommodate. So Jeffrey, let me ask you, when do you think it'd be important to accommodate?
Well, being that I have a military background, I would say that I'm more accommodating when I'm taking orders from superior officers.
Absolutely. Makes sense. Another time that you would want to accommodate is when it really doesn't matter to you and it really matters to me. It really doesn't matter to you. Stephen Covey calls that emotional chips in the bank. If this is so important to you and it's not important to me, it actually behooves me to accommodate, because at some point down the line, I might need a favor from you. And this is just a way to create that goodwill.
Thank you.
Any other ideas about accommodating?
I would say doing it on a podcast. If we are going back and forth or having a discussion, both of us can't be assertive at the exact same time. One of us has to be able to put ourselves in that listening mode while the other one's speaking, and vice versa, so that we can go back and forth. I mean, it makes common sense. I love it.
Yeah. And the last one I'll say is also when you're not the subject matter expert. And I see this a lot, where most people have one or two preferred ways to manage conflict. And if someone is used to competing all the time and they're not the subject matter expert, you probably have seen this in meetings, right? Where someone's going on, and this is the way we should do it. And you're looking at the person, what experience do you have in this?
Exactly.
You have no experience. And so that's another great time just to accommodate, learn from that subject matter expert, and then you can figure out where to go from there.
Perfect. I love that.
So we've talked about two of the five ways. Now let's talk about the third way. The third way is the bottom left of this model. And this is low assertiveness, low cooperation. You're avoiding the situation. Now, again, some people say to me, Anne, avoid. Who avoids? I have to be decisive. I have to be assertive. And again, this model says, at times, yes, you do. And there are at times where you would avoid. A classic example of avoiding, again, you've probably experienced it, Jeffrey. Say, for example, there's a meeting going on. Maybe it's an offsite. Maybe it's a strategic meeting. And people are starting to get a little emotional. Voices are starting to get raised. And you would hear someone say, you know what? Let's put that in a parking lot. That is an example of someone avoiding. You will come back to it, but for now, let's avoid it and let's push it away so that we can focus on the task at hand. So that's a great example of avoiding.
But I would also say that that's not necessarily a bad thing either to our listeners, in that when you are avoiding something and putting it on the parking lot, you're eliminating the feelings or the emotions, as you said just a second ago, so that you can come back to it rationally as a group and then have the conversation based on the topic. So not necessarily avoiding totally, but avoiding for the moment so that we can get through all of the points on an agenda or the training session or whatever the case may be, and then allowing that person to bring themselves back down to a calm state and then go back with limited emotions and talk about the discussion again.
Exactly. So that's three of the ways. So now let's go to the top right. So the top right is collaborate. So again, looking at our axes, collaborate's the top right. That means high assertiveness, high cooperation. Now, a lot of people say, oh, I just had a phone call with Jeffrey and we collaborated. I'm like, well, you may not have exactly collaborated, because if you think about, were you asserting yourself and asking for everything you wanted, and were you cooperating fully? And it's actually pretty rare that we do this. It takes a lot of energy, mm-hmm. takes a lot of time, a lot of resources. Generally, we tend to collaborate when things are really high stakes. So right now, we have a lot going on, and if we don't take care of this, the client's going to be upset. That would be a great time to collaborate. But again, it takes a lot of energy and resources. And then finally, in the middle of our box, we have what we call compromise. So compromise is halfway assertive, halfway cooperation, and really thinking about, where do I need to assert myself? Where can I let go? Where do I need to cooperate? Where am I not willing to cooperate? And that is what we call compromise. So according to TKI, Thomas Kilman Instrument, all five ways, compete, avoid, accommodate, collaborate, compromise, are valid. We just need to know, as supervisors, managers, and leaders, what is the appropriate way to use given the circumstances and the situation I'm in right now.
Completely understand that. Thank you so much. And we also want to make sure that our listeners understand that you're never going to live in one spot all the time. These are evolutionary. You go from in and out, ebbs and flows, in one category or another, depending on the situation and the conversation that you're having.
I would say even within one conversation, right? Sometimes I might start out competing, and then all of a sudden I realize the other person's got a great point, or I don't have enough expertise, and so then I might end up accommodating. Mm-hmm. So even within one conversation, you're going back and forth. And the point is to be aware of what you're doing and to say, in this moment, it's best that I accommodate. Let me back off. In this moment, it's best if we collaborate. Let me move forward. And to be intentional about what is the one that I'm using right now based on the situation.
Totally agree. So if we had to say, what would be a best practice to share with our listeners, what do you think would come to the top of your mind?
I would say, first of all, know what your preferred style is. We all have a preferred style. Mine used to be competing, still is probably. But especially when I was in my 20s, I was off the charts when it came to competing. And again, there's an instrument, there's an assessment you can take mm-hmm. to get your number, but you don't have to. You can also just talk to people. And what I realized is when I saw that number is how much I compete, is that it actually hindered the teamwork, because I was always the one putting it out there first. And so I'd say, first, as a best practice, know what your preferred style is. And if you don't know, ask those around you. They'll probably tell you. And then I would say, as a team, start to understand, what about those on your team? How do they tend to manage situations? And then see if there's a tilt. What I mean by that is, does everybody on the team tend to go to compete first? Does everybody on the team tend to go to avoid first? And if so, we want to leverage the other ways and to go outside our comfort zone so that we feel comfortable with all five ways.
So I understand, as we go through this, there are so many ways that we can deal with the conflict in those five categories that you have expressed in TKI. If I had to take that back to the workplace right now, and I know I think of this, and I know some of our listeners are probably are thinking the same thing, what's in it for me? Why would I want to use or understand the TKI model when dealing with conflict in the workplace?
So the first thing I want to stress is, we can never eliminate conflict. Conflict is always going to be there. And so the question is, are we going to let conflict manage us, or are we going to manage conflict? And so if I understand, oh, Jeffrey's not being a jerk, Jeffrey's just competing right now, let me understand what's so important to him that he's going to be so assertive. Then, as you said earlier, we can have the conversation and we can have a dialogue versus, Jeffrey's being assertive. Well, then I'm going to be assertive right back, and we escalate up and we never get anything resolved. So I'd say what's in it for you is, A, you learn about yourself and what your style is. B, you learn about the team. And C, you can understand what we call the root cause of what's going on mm-hmm. so that we can make sure that whatever it is you're doing for the team, for the organization, for the mission, is actually being addressed, rather than this fight, which is that thing that people expect when they hear the word conflict, between you and I.
Thank you so much. Now that I understand TKI a lot better, I think I'm going to be able to employ this in my daily conversations and interactions with colleagues, clients, customers. even family members. So thank you so much for sharing all of this great information with us.
My pleasure.
We would love to hear your questions, comments, and any feedback that you can provide on this podcast, as well as future podcasts. So please submit those to Ms. Anne Lohr at annelohr@centerforhci.org. And again, that's Anne Lohr at Center for Human Capital Innovation. And we look forward to hearing from you.